just pulled this out.
But the reaction to this protest is coordinated in Watergate and Paul Nixon told us something about how the United States, as a political power structure, operated at that moment. Similarly, with the release of all our materials, the reaction to them tells us something about how the world is working right now. For instance, the reaction by Washington power structure set up 120-man and dedicated task force, dedicated public announced CIA task force, State Department task force, and so on in other countries, including my own country, Australia, who set up a whole of government task force involving all the intelligence agencies, Department of Defense, the equivalent of the FBI and the Attorney General. That reaction occurred only because I am an Australian citizen. We do not publish in Australia. I was not in Australia. Our servers to receive information are not in Australia. So there we have a clear expression of the relationship between Australia and the United States. Similarly, when Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, Bank of America, Western Union, and other financial institutions unilaterally conducted financial embargo on this organization, which exists to this day, we can see something about the relationship between Washington and the largest finance companies in the world. So, in this audience, nearly every one of you has a Visa card in your pocket. You actually have an instrument of Washington policy in your pocket. Because if you reach into your pocket and try and use that card to send us money in Germany or in Iceland, you will not be able to. Despite there being no administrative process, no judicial process that has occurred to say that you can't. In fact, the only judicial process, or the only administrative process that has occurred around this issue happened on January 13th by Timothy C. Geithner, the US Treasurer, who found that there was no lawful reason to add WikiLeaks to a US financial advisor. So there we have a slip from the rule of law to what we thought was the rule of law in order to censor through banking institutions, publisher, because Washington didn't like what they had to say. That's a case that we are litigating in the EU. But while it is a burden to us, and has eliminated 90% of our funding, it is also an intense description of how modern power works, the connection between political, intelligence, military, and financial power. Even torture tools in various countries around the world that have been exported to you using Visa and MasterCard, but you cannot support a free speech organization.
Okay.
challenge. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much for that keynote address. You mentioned several things that I'd like to pick up now, starting with what you call the preeminent goal of journalists, namely justice. You said before that you established WikiLeaks not for the sake of transparency alone, but to promote a more just society. What evidence have you seen that you're achieving that aim?
Good question. So, I believe, as a result of over 20 years of work in this field and through some insights I gained in physics, studying how we know that we know something, that our civilization, the civil part of our civilization, rests upon us knowing how the world actually works, and that we behave in a more intelligent way when we understand the effects on our actions, and then as an organized society, we also treat each other better when we understand the plans and actions of others and how they are either just or unjust. So that is a long-term goal, but like all long-term political goals, there is a chance that you compromise basic justice to achieve that long-term goal, and perhaps you could lose your way. We all saw that with communism in Russia. Although the goal was noble, perhaps people lost their way in their dedication to achieve that goal. However, as an organization, we are focused not just on long-term justice, justice every day. And that is why we can be confident that even if the goal that we have for the world is an illusion, that every day we have achieved meaningful victories for individuals around the world.
Julian, if I can just pick up on your point about the effects of your actions. Of course, one of the effects of the modus operandi of WikiLeaks until now has been that this encrypted file has now become fully accessible. Does that change your assessment of the costs and benefits of the way WikiLeaks has operated until now?
Not at all. Those sort of inherent within publication at scale, inherent within affecting nearly every country in the world, are risks that is inherent. But it is negligent and critical for organizations to say that by doing no harm, they will do no good. No, it is important for organizations to take risks, and it is important for organizations to demonstrate a willingness to fight for justice at large and justice on an individual level. So if we look to see the effects over the past few years that this organization has been involved in, They range from changed electoral results in Kenya, probably Peru, the sacking of half a dozen ministers, at least in various countries, the initiation of multiple prosecutions and legal cases and investigations. Just two days ago, a new investigation in Iraq started into the massacre of five young children and adults by the United States, in which execution of them and the destroying of evidence. When we look, on the other hand, to see what the claims are, we see the same tried an old rhetorical trick about possibilities in the future. Let us be concrete. This organization has a record in a number of respects that it is very proud of. First of all, we have never published something that was false in 4.5 years. Secondly, none of our sources have been exposed to our knowledge as a result of anything that we have done. Third, that no individual has come to physical harm as a result of anything that we have published in the past 4.5 years. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, we're operating at scale, that all those three points will hold forever. We accept that is always a possibility, as all organizations must that operate at scale.
Julian Assange, the critics are saying, of course, that particularly with this release, with this accessibility of the entire convolute of the diplomatic cables, that innocent life is endangered, and some of them have been very concrete. For example, it's been said that a United Nations official in West Africa is cited by name, as is a foreign human rights activist in Cambodia. What do you say to these charges that WikiLeaks handled very sensitive data recklessly? Is that perhaps simply the price, that risk that you have to pay for truth?
Well, it is simply false. Let us look at this case properly. The Guardian newspaper revealed the entire decryption password, including that component of which they were instructed to never write down, did so in breach of a contract. Now, while WikiLeaks rightly is to blame for working with the Guardian newspaper, inherent in pushing out material to make an impact is the need to work with mainstream press organizations. And The Guardian, yes, in this case, was negligent in its behavior. We cannot say that overall it is an especially negligent media organization. Rather, it is overall, as far as newspapers are concerned, one of the better.
Julian Assange.
The individual concerned it was the head of the Guardian investigation. It was the Guardian investigation's editor. So it is rather difficult under the basis where we had to give the Guardian all the papers we were entrusting, all the papers to the Guardian. That is part of the risk that we must have simply to get the shirt up from the newspaper. And in this case, our trust was violated.
Now, The Guardian, of course, says they were told that that was supposedly a temporary password and that they did not by any means think that it would be still usable many months later. But getting beyond this particular detail and the back and forth on the issues, isn't WikiLeaks ultimately accountable? After all, the possibility of going viral is an inherent trait of digital data, isn't it? And doesn't that require very, very exacting standards? Your website itself refers to harm minimization procedures and cleaning data in order not to endanger innocent victims. Are you satisfied that you met your own standards?
We are satisfied that there is nothing that we could have done differently without 2020 hindsight. Let us look at what the risk environment was for us at that time.
We're still on. It's just looking a little dark.
I'll continue. Open these curtains here. One of the perils of living in a country not so close to us.
Now we've got a nice natural light situation, thank you.
All right, excellent. So, can you repeat the question?
I had asked you whether you're satisfied that WikiLeaks met its own standards and promises in terms of harm minimization procedures and cleaning data not to endanger innocent victims.
Yes. So, first of all, let us look at our promises. They are, number one, that we will protect our sources. They are, number two, that we will publish. And they are, number three, that we will publish with impact. And number four, that we will never censor anything once it has been published. The harm minimization is a part of that, which goes on to publishing with impact, impact for justice. So, let us go back to the risk environment that we faced in December last year and November. The risk was that there would be no publication at all. There were 120 man Pentagon task force, a CIA task force, a demand from the United States government that we must destroy all the material, or that we would be compelled to do so. Intelligence officials around the world, a whole government task force in Australia, and I was placed in prison on the 27th. So that is the risk environment, that there would be no publication. Nonetheless, we proceeded forward to work with over 50 countries around the world, over 90 different organisations, to gradually get this material out. And currently, the State Department engaged in a warning program to its informants and collaborators that it felt might be at risk if information was published.
If I can briefly interrupt you there, I've heard that you have talked to the State Department in recent days to find out the status of that warning program. Let me ask you this. When did you find out that the encrypted file was fully accessible, and what did you do to warn possibly endangered sources?
I will get to that, but let us not miss the woods for the trees. Right now, all over the world, journalists are studying and scrutinising this material. And there is tremendous reform that will come right now. In fact, I suggest that everyone here really should get up from their chairs and run back to the office, because there is an intense movement underway to understand and publish stories from what we have released over the past week. That is going to be extremely significant. Do I think that there will be much harm that will come as a result of its release? No, I don't think there will be much harm. Do I think that it is possible that there may be some? Yes, I think that it's possible. I think that there is unlikely to be a lot of harm, because our usual harm minimization process is to notify and delay. And in this particular case, notify and delay has had a year to run it. Why did we step forth to then publish all 251,000 unredacted diplomatic cables ourselves after it had become public? Well, we discovered around 2 months ago that The Guardian had published the full encryption password in its book, described it as such, including the very component they were told to never hack out. And that an individual in Berlin had been spreading the location of a hidden file, a hidden encrypted file that had been encrypted with that password, that's a permanent encryption, to selected media organizations in order to gain personal benefit.
that these documents were going to become public in their entirety. You went ahead with the publication of the remainder of the documents that you had. What did you do simultaneously to warn people whose names were in those documents?
Well, when we discovered that Freetalk had been given all the information that was about the Brown story, we had our lawyers approach the individual concerned who was spreading that information, the German national, and asked him to cease and desist. We also asked Freetalk to not mention TV-Tiles in the story. And in the first story that they ran, they did not. But in the second story, they mentioned far more. And it is a result. It was the final result. The cavalier attitude of Freetalk and another newspaper information from the UK in publishing those details that caused this information to spread throughout. When we discovered that was the likely course of action some 2 weeks ago, we approached the State Department to tell them that it was our belief that the information would probably all come out, given the Guardian and published the encryption key, and that the information would be spread for personal gain within Germany, and the German publications were publishing the details of it, creating a market for the information to spread. And they did not seem particularly concerned. Said, well, we've had a warning program back in November last year. What more can we do?
What about a public warning from you yourself directly? Would that possibly have given a bit more notice to those people whose names were in not only the convolute that's up because of the Guardian, but also in the 134,000 cables that you published?
Well, by then, it had already become public. Other organizations had already published. In fact, before we published, it was available on some dozens of websites and download sites, and in the United States, being spread all over Twitter, etc. So from a harm minimization perspective, and in order to prevent possible revolutions and reforms being lost, it was necessary to give the information in an authenticated way to the general public, to journalists, and to those people who might be mentioned in the material, to understand that they were mentioned and what precisely was said about them. In this very dangerous interim between the information of the archive being available to those people who are interested to look, and being officially available from us, we have a case where every intelligence agency has the material, and the people who are mentioning the material do not have the material, and the journalists who are more further afield and are monitoring the situation closely do not have the material. So you have a race between the bad guys and the good guys, and it was necessary for us to stand on the side of the good guys in order to not compromise our mission. And those self-serving statements by the Guardian newspaper, who managed to rope in and fool the people who come along for the ride, to say that the decision published is out now alone, is a spin on what actually happened. The decision to publish the entire encryption key, and without the publication of that encryption key, none of this material would have been legal. The decision to publish the encryption key was the decision of the Guardians alone. It did not check with us to see whether that was a problem. And of course, if you have a deep red button, which you would hold to never lock down, you do not press that button without asking someone what the effect you don't do.
I want to come back in just a moment to your work with your media partners, but let's step back just for a second and look at the concept of secrecy in general. It seems to me, namely, that there are two rather conflicting ideas of secrecy at work here. On the one hand, you say you have to take the risk of endangering people by exposing identities if they are in the documents that you publish. On the other hand, you have been very intent on protecting the anonymity of your own sources, of the people who supply information to WikiLeaks. Are you not concerned that this contradiction, and particularly the revelations of the past week, may chill the supply of information to WikiLeaks by deterring those very sources that you need to rely on?
Not at all. Our promise to sources is that we protect. We protect them, and that we will help. And that we will publish to do that. And I think that is clear to everyone that's promised to prepare. There's a fascinating media dynamic here. So the headlines were spun, WikiLeaks revealed sources. And that is purely for news value and as a result of media competition. The sources are not our sources, they are those politicians, diplomats, human rights workers, etc., who gave information, in most cases, illegitimately, to US embassies around the world. They are US embassy, if you like, sources. Nothing to do with our sources or our operations. In fact, as investigative journalists and other people who are trying to get the truth out about the world, we must, all journalists must, name names. And we have intentional named names of the corrupt and the powerful in Afghanistan, in US embassies, and so on. And then, as well aware, as the general public should be well aware, political intelligence was being given from the German capital to the US embassy. Although that name wasn't named by us, it was eventually discovered by the German press in his photos. In Australia, political intelligence was being given by Mark McGibb, a member of the cabinet, to the US embassy. Extremely important information to reveal.
Among the informants who are mentioned are people like this human rights worker in Cambodia. Surely he's not a collaborator. You apparently told Nick Davies of The Guardian, at least he says, that the informants are essentially collaborators and therefore don't deserve special protection.
That is not true. I did not tell Nick Davies that. And in fact, hold no one that. And you can speak to two journalists who were at the very table. Holger Stark and Glass, who know that conversation. The man who alleges it is David Lee, who is the author of the book that revealed the encryption password to all the material, who also happens to be the brother-in-law of the editor, Alan Rusbridger, of The Guardian. And that nepotism within The Guardian has caused tremendous problems. It means that various unconscionable acts by David Lee, breaking of contracts, revealing the material, getting all the material, in violation of those contracts to countries outside the UK, has not been able to effectively tell to account because of that familial relationship with The Guardian. Nick Davies actually does not allege that I said anything of the sort. He alleges that David Lee told him. So this is an interesting case where we have media competition, we have personalities, we have familiar relationships and we have people trying to cover their own asses in this event, pulling in all their contacts that they can in order to do so, and that includes the editor of Der Spiegel.
If you actually read Der Spiegel this week,
read the article by Paul Stark, which you will see is at odds with these claims.
Okay, we're going to be talking to one of the editors-in-chief, Paul Stark, in just a moment, so we'll be able to get his take on this directly. But then let's go back, let's get out of this morass and talk about that general issue of secrecy once more. Do you say that secrecy is ever necessary, or do you concede that there are some political processes that could be thwarted if they are prematurely exposed?
Unjust plans are conducted in secret. Why? Because it is the view they will not be able to be implemented if the plan is done publicly. Why? Because those people who are affected by justice and friends will rally together and agree in every way possible oppose those plans. This is very basic. That is why these operations are conducted in secret, particularly because they will be opposed. So if we want plans of governments and other organizations that have power to be just, then we must have channels to get as much of those plans as possible, in most cases, out to the public before they are locked in, before they are sold, before they are in. I mean, if we look at the move on the Czech Republic, the crushing of the Prague Spring, if we had all known a month ahead that the Prague Spring would be crushed, that he moves to crush and the Czechs knew, would it have been successfully crushed? Well, the answer is probably not. Or if it was, it would have come at a much higher political cost to the Warsaw Pact.
But do you consider every diplomatic negotiation to be a potentially unjust action? Diplomats say that if the kind of transparency that you're promoting actually were fully realized, they simply couldn't do their work.
Every diplomatic correspondence is a potentially unjust action. Of course it is, potentially. And it is in that potential where everything becomes interesting. Who is to judge whether is not. Of course, those people involved directly have tremendous self-interest to cover up what they're doing. And we have seen that in practice. This is not theory. We have seen a vast array of corruption, torture, murder, war crimes being revealed by our material. This is not a hypothetical. We know that that is in the material that we have released, and that as a result, there have been important reforms and political movements that have been stimulated or come directly from what we have done. There should never be a case, ever, where anyone can conduct a plan without the possibility of it being revealed by a whistleblower or discovered by an insider. That possibility, that potentiality, that what is being done in secret might come out to the public, is what holds them to account. Now that doesn't mean that all plans at the moment should be public, but it means that there must be the threat of public oversight on every plan. The threat that will come out at the moment and the threat that will come out eventually.
Let me go on to a few questions about how you are operating at the moment in that gilded cage that you're living in, as you call it, because we do only have about 5 more minutes of time. You mentioned at the outset that it has made your work much more difficult. You also talked about the cutback in funding due to boycott by the credit cards. apparently you're not taking any submissions. You kind of noticed up on your website for a while saying that you are re-engineering in order to make submissions safer and more secure as well as user-friendly. I gather that does not have to do with the recent release of the whole convolute of data, but when will you take submissions again, and is the fact that you're not taking them a result of your confinement there?
We take submissions through a number of mechanisms. So WikiLeaks is not a technology, although we use technology in many, many different ways. We are an organization. We are an organization that has certain values that we wish to promote, and as a result, we have certain ways of implementing our values in order to achieve our objectives. They are protection of sources through technical means, physical means, legal means, the protection of our rights to publish and others' rights to publish through similar means, and the promotion of those values as a necessary ingredient in our civilization. That particular part of receiving through the front door online submissions is not open to the public presently. That is for a wide variety of reasons. Partly it is because we have been completely consumed with getting out the cables to the public around the world, defending them and defending ourselves. Because of sabotage last year, on August 25, by a German national who physically stole code and documents that I and others had written, on the way out, and a new threat environment where a threat wasn't just attack after publication, but attack to compromise the organization prior to publication. Very aggressive threat environment. And a profile that is now so high that we, just having a simple open front door, will be completely overwhelmed and deluged the material coming to us. So that requires considerable re-engineering to deal with the publishing process flow and the new threat environment, and to create a correctly syndicated system so that it's not just us, but it's all the other leaking sites that are starting to spring up, other publishers that can be involved in the process.
Tell me.
That is something that's been engineered over the past 6 months, but
just tell me something if you would about
yes,
those.
Yes, it is nearing fruition, but it'll be ready when it's ready.
About those other leaking sites that you mentioned, OpenLeaks, of course, has now been up in operation for about a month. It says it doesn't see itself as in competition with you. How do you see it?
That is untrue. It has never published anything. It has not been up in operation. That is simply untrue. However, there are a number of other sites that we have supported. Presently, the one that I have most confidence in, and I'm not talking about the sort of work that we do that needs to resist the National Security Agency and TCHQ and the SBR, but nonetheless is fairly good, is BIBOL. And that is created by some Bulgarian investigative journalists and computer scientists in France. But there are a number of these sites, and it is very heartening to see them springing up in the various areas. It is a hard business to create such a site and reception mechanism, both publishing and reception mechanism, that can withstand the full might of a superpower or a sophisticated intelligence agency. That is a different standard and is hard for people to do. And one must look quite closely at these sites before understanding whether they can resist those sorts of attacks. But the motivation and will is there in these people, and they also assume, probably correctly, that there is a demand. And that is something that we have been trying to facilitate. So you may not see them as competition. In the particular case that you're referring to, this German site, well, I mean, that is a very dark business. One must also understand who is the people who are behind these sort of sites, who are entrusting sources to them. What is their track record as activists and in their professional life, and what sort of organizations do they associate with? One must understand that. And unfortunately, it is a dark business that has been occurring in Germany. And the German press, while they have started to become critical, were not critical enough early on. And that is unfortunate that people who gained prominence simply by attacking us, and really that is all, simply by attacking us, have gained prominence. But one should be careful about feeding individuals who operate in that way. Protecting sources and protecting the rights to publish at a high level is a serious business, and the opportunity for compromise, human compromise, is always there. So one has to scrutinize the human individuals as well as the technology.
Interestingly enough, you have cooperated less with members of your own wiki cast, as it were, bloggers and social media activists, than with the traditional media, with the gatekeepers. However, you did have a falling out with almost all of your media partners from last year. Is that era
absolutely
of cooperation?
Absolutely false. It is interesting that you have this falsehood within you, because it is a demonstration of the corruption of certain parts of the media. So let's be clear. There has been a disconnect from us with two organizations, The Guardian and The New York Times. The Guardian, in violation of contract, secretly took all the cables, held them online, revealed the decryption key, and passed them all over to The New York Times while we were trying to set up a collaboration with Washington Post and Clancy, prepared to publish them in secret. The Spiegel wouldn't come to the table with that, and as a result, there was a famous legal confrontation on November the 1st last year. Is a result of a breach of contract, legal confrontation on the 1st last year. Similarly with the New York Times, because the New York Times was involved in that secret dealing with the Guardian. All our other media partners are still on board. All of them. Partners now in over 50 different countries, over 90 different organizations, and approximately 30 to 50 of which were involved in upcoming publications with us, and we are still involved with upcoming publications that are not cable related, with a number of different partners from the US and Europe.
So you see that kind of cooperation going forward. I'm wondering how you see WikiLeaks future in general. We're seeing some traditional media, of course, practically ready to write your epitaph this week. What do you say to them?
Oh, okay. Jealousy is painful, but you know. that's something that has happened over many years for us. We're not concerned by that. I would only say that it is a bit distasteful to display envy in such a way. And it is distasteful to do it under the circumstances that this organization is under, where there is a concurrent espionage charge in relation to me and other
sorry, the current espionage investigation of Washington in relation to me and other people, where I am under house arrest facing extradition, where we have had various alleged sources sitting in prison under a tremendously difficult circumstance, where we've had over 100 raids and arrests of our supporters in various countries. That is a result of our publishing, that effort to censor us and shut us down, including the economic and financial blockade by the various banks, completely extrajudicial. And for organisations to attack us falsely, it's fine. Every organisation should be criticised. But to be criticised falsely, based on false information, simply displays an incompetence in relation to checking the facts and a degree either of competition or jealousy or envy, but also in some cases a desire to curry favour with powerful organisations that are opposed to us. And it is this latter category that is the most disturbing, when media organisations that are meant to be holding power account do the work of power that is involved in suppressing the right to knowledge. We know journalists, to some degree, will be the first to give censors the noose which will end up around all our heads. So people need instead to come together to exercise solidarity in adversity, because if we don't, we will all end up lackeys in a worldwide system of effective censorship totalitarianism. I don't mean to be unduly bombastic with that statement, but that is the reality that we are heading in certain countries towards a system that is like that of China. Not necessarily through great firewalls, censoring the internet, although that is on the rise throughout Europe, but rather of backdoor political censorship as a result of economic integration with the media and powerful groups, intelligence organisations, the military, privatised intelligence contractors, etc. That economic integration is pulling the media into a system where it can be effectively influenced to not publish. If we include what we have seen the banks do to us, we have a real threat that the robust publishing can be economically sabotaged, and that media organisations can be censored by sending them bankrupt. We all have to gather together to prevent that. It has gone on now since December 7th. And it's an extraordinary thing to have all those banking organisations engaged in an extrajudicial blockade of a publisher for publishing material. It's not, they do not claim this for any other reason. They claim it is a result of publishing. So we have to get together to stop it. Otherwise, we will be atomized, fragmented, and put into a position where we can no longer be effective at holding power to account. And that is our job, to hold power to account, not to hold people in the street to account. That is not our job. Our job is to hold power to account. If that is not our job, then we should stop pretending that we have any moral force or any moral claim to the population for not being regulated.
Julian Assange, thank you very, very much for this interview, for this very interesting conversation, as well as for your keynote. You have a very appreciative audience here in Berlin. We're going to give you a big round of applause. I hope you can hear that. Thank you. turning once again to N24 and their technical team, as well as to Constant Hilda for making this possible. Thank you as well to Justin Hoffman, if he's here already. See you all after the break.